Tom Couser has worked with young adults in congregational and academic settings for more than 40 years. His new book, Passing the Torch, Sharing Faith and Values with the Millennial Generation, gives congregations a better understanding of the spiritual issues that young adults face. He presented at the 2014 LCMS Youth Ministry Symposium, Faith, Value, and Millennials. Before he began his presentation, he shared that one of his goals in ministry is to reach young adults where they are at, and that often means having conversations in coffee shops, bars, and restaurants. So it's fitting that this interview occurred in the conference hotel lobby.
Well, my name is Tom Couser. I'm a career DCE. 25 years in church youth ministry, and then 11 years as a high school counselor at Lutheran High of Dallas. During that time, I was also the basketball coach. Retired 6 years ago. In retirement, I continue to be passionate about teenagers and young adults, and especially helping adults begin to relate to where millennials are at today. So that's what I do. I write, written a couple books. I blog. I do an e-letter. Because I feel that Lutheran theology is very marketable today. I mean, we have what the world needs, including millennials. But unfortunately, there are some obstacles that we throw up without even realizing it a lot of times that prevent us from being effective with millennials. So yeah, that's basically what I've talked about. I did that up front in the symposium. And then today I reacted to what the other presenters were saying and helped, those that were here to understand in the Lutheran context what the challenges are. So,
what are some of those challenges?
What are the obstacles? Number one, I think we've underestimated the power of millennials. You know, that I'm a baby boomer, but there's many more millennials than there were baby boomers even back in the 50s and 60s. As a generational group, a dynamic force in terms of what they have to offer, but also in terms of how they want to change the world. And then the other thing is with millennials, the models that we've used in the past, the way the church is set up to minister to people, with the assumption being we're going to have kids in the youth group, they're going to go off to college, they're going to graduate, they're going to get a job, they're going to get married, they're going to have children. They don't follow that normal progression anymore. Millennials, number one, they might be cohabitating while they're in college. They might be sexually active before they go off to college. A lot of them are having trouble finding jobs because they graduate with a degree and there's no place for them in the workforce. They're delaying marriage until late 20s, early 30s. They're delaying families, till then. There's a good chance because they've been detached from the church, that even when they have families, they're not going to come back. And that's always been the assumption. Well, they're going to go off to college and sow their wild oats, but as soon as they have a family, they will come back to church to be married, and then we'll see them again when they have children. Probably isn't going to happen. So we've underestimated millennials in that way. Number two, we've created an atmosphere where the issues of the day cannot be discussed. Because as soon as you ask a question or express doubt, we say you can't, we can't even talk about that. And the example that I use there is Nicodemus, how life would have been different in Jesus, ministry. If when Nicodemus came to him at night, Jesus said, we can't even have a conversation because you and I are not on the same page. And what are the issues? Well, issues like, cohabitation, the whole gay, lesbian issue. Maybe it's the universalism of the exclusivity of Christianity. that we have the only way to salvation, where millennials are taught to be tolerant of all the other religious groups, so therefore there must be multiple paths to the same God. That's an issue that we need to talk about. We need to talk about evolution, because most millennials accept that humans have evolved. So those are the issues that need to be discussed. So those are the kinds of things that I talked about as obstacles. The other one that's a big one is not loving people where they're at, but where we want them to be. And the example that I use there is the woman at the well, because Jesus loved that woman and showed compassion for her, even though she was involved in a lifestyle that was pretty gross. He still loved her, established a relationship so that her life was changed. Without a relationship, it's never going to happen. So those are the kinds of things that I talk about. So.
In your experience working with young adults, what kinds of preconceived notions do they have about the church?
Well, it's not a place where you can go to ask questions. It's a great place for families, but it's not a place where you go or you're single. You know, you don't feel welcome. We don't feel welcome there. They don't seem to know what to do with us. So those are the kinds of things that I see. And you know, and it's the old thing of, well, the church is hypocritical. They say they love, but they don't always feel that love. So those are the kinds of things.
If you could say something to the world's millennials, representing the voice of the church, what would you want them to hear from the church?
You are loved. No matter where you're at, no matter what value system you have, you're loved. You're valuable to me. I really want to get to know you, and I deeply care about you. And you're always welcome. And I have something that I'd like to share with you, and that something is Jesus Christ. So that would be my message. So,
how would the average congregation go about sharing that message with young adults in their community? Like, how could they start to do that?
I would say it starts with the young adults that you do have. And start with them. And use them as a resource. Find out what they're about. Approach them in terms of how they think the church could welcome their peers. It starts at the top, though. The leadership, you know, pastors and staff, really need to have an openness to the world. And I think the church, in the next 20 to 30 years, is going to look vastly different than it does today. Because we need to be at the point where we see the core group of people who are a part of the church, and I don't care how big that church or how small that church is, that they begin to see each other as deployed staff, that when they leave, they become messengers of grace and reconciliation in the world. That's really what I would say to the local congregation. The book that I wrote, that's current, is called Passing the Torch, Sharing Faith and Values with Millennials. It's a really short book, but it focuses on how we all have faith stories to tell, and how the best way to relate to millennials is to establish a relationship with them, so that you can share your faith story. But you have to earn the right to be heard. So until you embrace them and show that you care about them as a person, you know, you can't tell that story, but the story has to be told. And the greatest thing that we have to offer is hope. And as people of hope, other people are drawn to us. They want to know what we have, and that opens the door as well.
I've heard some congregations say that they can't embrace millennials because they can't embrace their lifestyle, and to befriend them would be accepting their lifestyles that might be wrong. What would you say to a congregation who said that?
You know, Jesus loved people where they were at. He didn't like their lifestyle. In fact, he despised their sin. But he still loved them. And just because you love somebody does not mean you agree with them. But until you love them and accept them for who they are, there's no hope. And there again, you know, when you look at the story of the woman who was caught in adultery in John 8, you know, there are people outside the church door who are very much like that woman, who were involved in pretty gross stuff, but who need someone to be an advocate for them, because we're all broken. And that's the kind of Savior that we have. He loved the broken. And we're not endorsing a lifestyle. We're not agreeing with what they're doing. We're just loving them where they're at.